Now, follow me down. It's possible to create things in trance that persist after, that don't exist normally, but whose logic, whose rules, whose rationale within the game, well, look at improv, and I hope you do. Look at acting, where the premises and experiences of the mind can be so different. To be a deeper place, to be a steadier fall, to be tempted by something that previously would be nothing at all, to be conditioned to feel like a specific creature. The puppy play people get into, the night-night drowsy puppetry, all the different tools I enjoy, all the ways to play with me. It makes sense. It makes sense that you would be able to build up premises that are a little different, concepts that are a little beyond the norm. And for that, I have said at various points, drawing on the past, on history, on context. Your brain has a history and a context of hearing my voice, of knowing I speak about night-night pet, about dropping deep, but a brain that surrenders and sleeps and lets everything inside of it quiet down, quiet further down. A place where the only thing going on in your head is this voice. I will give you a visualization. I will give you a self-trance task. And I will give you as much as I have. In this case, I have a few tricks. I have my voice itself. I have some science facts. And that basically does it. That should be enough to build a simple hypnotic piece of conditioning. And you'll return to the voice. I've said repeatedly, and you'll return to the breath. Return to the breath. And you'll return to the breath. See? And you'll return to my voice. Using a mythological construct or a common genre in order to give the mind setting and circumstance is one of the first things I like to do in trance. I hope you do too. This is a short, simple one. You hear my voice. You summon a specific visualization. Then in future, when you're going into trance, you can conjure and return to that same visualization. Learning a voice, letting it come with its own hypnodisc, its own spiral, its own swaying metronome or pendulum. Because when you hear the voice, it's like, oh, that's what I drop for. Oh, that's what I go deep for. Oh, that's what my mind is asleep for, that voice, which looks like that, that voice, which moves like that voice, which fills you like that, fills you necessarily with not just relaxation, but, oh, this is vibrating your thoughts away, taking your solid thoughts and introducing vibration into them. And when my words are vibrating through your thoughts, because they are vibrations, and because they collapse into awareness. They cover you over. These vibrations can make their way inside regardless, turn into electrical signals, and carry you further. The seductive vibration of a voice, the right voice, the potency of voice, is itself a potently hypnotic urge. To be near that voice. It is very siren, when Odysseus had to lash himself to the mast to keep from leaping into the water, to keep yourself from the fetishized, mesmerized, mentally controlled, on a roll warmth. Because that's the thing, the voice can keep arriving, and the mind can arrive more sensically, more thoroughly, more chained together than most. As a result, when you think of the vibrations of my words tapping away into your brain, creating vibration pathways, creating buzz methods, the longer time goes on, the more these vibrations go long, longer, longer still, persisting in your mind, echoed by you, amplified by your will. The words fill your head. Your brain will remain, can be, under the influence of what I give and what you see and hear from me. My words form a waveform, peaks and valleys of a visual depiction of an auditory signal, and you have to block up your ears. But that would ruin the point. So instead, our siren seduction, oh, what if it were a siren seduction? What if it were a situation where you heard a voice, just a voice, and you said, oh, but that's the only thing I'm thinking of, only thing filling my head. Well, your version of lash to the mast is that you can't get to me. From there, you have to stay there, under this subject of my attentive siren seduction. The longer you hear it, the better. The more you feel it, the better. The longer you are subject to my voice overtaking and entrancing you, the more you are subject to those waveforms, to visualizing them. Someone begins trancing you and your brain is instantly like, oh, look at that. There's the familiar curve of the voice. There's the spikes up and down. There's the way it feels when it's layered all around your brain. You are subject to and exposed to a lovely type of visualization. Don't you just love it? The idea that someone's voice might be aesthetically pleasing to you, might fill in an equalizer that you see in your brain, the way a program or machine which has a visual equalizer, a voice audio visualizer, present on it, gets to see the contours and textures and spikes of that voice. And if you opened my files in Audacity, or if you were like me, and I admit I have a certain privilege of visual here, and you were watching the words go into it, you might go, oh, the way sleep looks, the way night-night looks. Of course you have to lash yourself to the mast to keep yourself from going overboard. So much I do is about keeping you from going overboard. Aren't you grateful? Don't you want to oblige me by occasionally going overboard for my voice? Just a little. Ancient story comes nearer and nearer. You hear my voice clearer. A dear memory. Word, experiencing something you can't resist. The idea of something you mentally can't resist is unfortunately quite rare. This is probably for the best for all of us, to be that hungry, that insatiable, to have a need that obviously telegraphed and out in the open would not be as pleasant as one might think. Now when we can control what we are lured into, when we can view what we're being tempted, commanded to do, see the visualizer in your mind. My every word is flowing into your mind. Enough effort is going into parsing my words and slotting them into your brain. Exactly right. Enough of that is happening that it could be quite exhausting for your mind's awake, aware attention. Instead, let's resolve that tension with you glazed and droopy and listening and using so much effort and energy to follow my voice. And in the background of every file, every idea, every time you hear my words, you might inspect those words as if you could see them on that visualizer. You might echo those words as if they were valuable enough. So nice you listened to me say it twice. And three times, and four, and more, sliding into place in your brain as long as you visualize the words, spend the excess energy, be tempted and inveigled. I've given you enough reasons why it might be so, why you might best benefit from letting your mind be laid low, fall below, sink and know you're deep, asleep. Siren seduction vibrating into your head, right through the bones into the reservoir, leading me to where your pleasure is kept. Think about that. I know where the storehouse of your pleasure within your mind is, because my voice is one of your pleasures. one of the treasures in that hoard, and you have taken it home. Who knows what it might whisper in the vaulted halls of the core parts of you, in the hidden bits where you know you're deep, and you go below. You use energy to parse my voice, to turn it from word to thought. And if you treat my words with a bit more care, I'm proud and happy to hear that, to look around on what you hold dear, on what you store on the shelves of your mind, and find that some of the treasures and ornaments there are mine. Influential, a siren seduction. You hear the voice and you begin to go toward it. You hear my words and know my will, and when your brain has had its fill, it'll roll over for whatever comes next.